Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back to another episode of Talking Fast. Alongside me, just like every single week, is manager Jacob. What's up?
What's up, Sarah? Indeed.
What's up, Sarah? Indeed. I ask you the same thing every week and you're still not prepared for
it. I've never have an answer for you.
You're just already thinking ahead to what are you eating or drinking this week?
My head was stuck in the clouds thinking about what I was eating this week, Sarah, because I'm on a vanilla ice cream kick. I grew up as a kid having a little ice cream as a little after dinner snack
every single night.
A lot of it, yeah.
Okay.
And actually I was one of the original vloggers. I should find the clip.
The original vloggers.
Yeah, I predated YouTube. I would walk around my house growing up with like the old family handy cam and just talk into it vlogging, and there's this like long vlog that I do
about ice cream,
talking about, ooh, what am I gonna get for a snack, and I go and make myself some ice cream. So
what type of vanilla ice cream?
Okay, well, like, this is the thing. So I get just a base of vanilla ice cream. Doesn't matter really the brand, but I'm talking about at home sundaes.
I love that.
What I've been doing?
I love a sundae.
Just assorted nuts right on top. A little bit of peanut butter drizzled on top.
Do you melt it and then you drizzle it?
I use the organic peanut butter. That's 100% peanut, so it's already drizzly enough. If anyone knows organic peanut butter, that shit is ready to drizzle.
Yeah.
No matter
it's
if
not
you
like
have it in the fridge or not.
It's not like a Kraft peanut butter situation.
No hate to Kraft, but it doesn't drizzle, I don't want it. Mm. But then I break up also a little chocolate bar a lot of the times. Wow. Toss that on top.
Wow.
I'm a menace. Sometimes I'll throw a couple raspberries in there. So I've been experimenting this week with
I feel like the one thing like I didn't expect from you is how big of a sweet tooth you have.
Oh my God.
Before I got to know, because I don't have a sweet tooth, so it always shocks me when people have such a sweet tooth.
Even people who say they have a sweet tooth, they'll meet me and then they'll sometimes look at listen, I have a pretty good diet for the main meals.
But it's the dessert where you lose it?
Snacks in between. If I have any kind of like Swedish berries or anything at
home. Oh my God, you just have candy stocked at home?
Oh, 100%. You gotta stock up with the snacks every time you go grocery shopping. Often I'll go grocery shopping after this podcast. You should see the damage I do in the snack.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Send a photo. I actually really do want to see. I'd be so curious.
Sarah, what about you? What are you eating or drinking this week?
Also eating, I went for a cozy bowl of ramen. And ooh. I feel like, because I used to make ramen at home a lot, and then I was in like a big Uber Eats like ordering ramen.
Okay.
But I went out for ramen the other day, which I just haven't done in a really long time, and I forgot how amazing
it is.
Do you
want to plug where you went?
I don't know the name of it.
I think it was Ramanishin, because I saw you tag it.
It wasn't. That's not what it was called.
Oh, really?
No.
Well, shit at Ramanishin.
It started with a K, I think.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It's in City Place.
Oh, definitely it wasn't Ramanishin then.
No, it's in City Place, and I've lived like near this ramen place for 3 years. Never been. So I finally went. Delicious. It was so yummy. It was so good. And
what did you get? Like, what are the, did you just get like regular toppings? You got the ramen. Did you get the egg in there?
I don't like the egg. Tara ate the egg for me. I don't know. Just like the chicken katsu. Is that what it's called?
I think
the, like regular one. But I got like the one with the garlic oil.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was yummy.
It warms you up.
It warms me up. When I was a poor university student, there was a ramen place near the TMU campus that was like up on the corner at college.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about? Where it was like on Tuesdays, they had like $7 ramen or something. It was like so dirt cheap. And you could go and get like a bowl of ramen and I could get a Sapporo that was like $5 and my entire meal would be less than $15. And it would be like just cozy and like fill me up. It was so good. So I feel like it takes me back to the nostalgia of those days. But yeah, I just had like cozy ramen. I need to go out for ramen more often.
Ooh, that's good.
I know it's about to be summertime. I went, like whatever.
Okay. I was in summertime before I played a soccer game last summer. I went out for ramen with Haley. We're big ramen fans as well.
That would be a really difficult thing Haley to eat before you play soccer.
Yes. And Haley has an egg allergy and there was like a 2-for-1 egg deal. So the server was like, oh, would you like her eggs? I was like, for sure. All of a sudden I have 8 half eggs in front of me and I was like, I can't eat this many eggs.
No. Jesus, that's a lot.
It was good though. What are you watching or reading this week, Sarah?
Okay, so I already posted a review of this on TikTok if you want to go check it out. But so my book club, I'm in a book club now, full adult mode, whatever. My book club last month read a book that was a very heartwarming Reese's book club story. It was called This Is How It Always Is, and it's about a transgendered child and their life and they're like overcoming the adversity, and it was a very like heartwarming book. This month, because we let a different girl in the book club group pick the book every
you
single
let
month
her.
Well, like every month
you switch, right?
Whoever is host, how we operate our book club is whoever is hosting book club the following month gets to pick the book that we're reading. So like Alana picked this book, but all she did was Google like book club books, like she didn't know it. And the one that came up was Twisted Love, which I've seen over TikTok, knowing that it's a smutty book, I was told. But no one really also warned me how chaotic and just bad this book was. It was to a point where halfway through the book, I was like, I bought into the chaos of it and riding the roller coaster because I was laughing. Three times I threw my book across the room because I was laughing so hard. Or
physically?
I was like, physically, like, I can't. Like, what the hell just happened?
Couple holes in your wall now?
They're almost, but it was so chaotic and not good. But I'm so excited to talk with the girls about it because it's just gonna be one of those books that's gonna be hilarious to talk about. Like, the smut scenes are interesting. Like, they're not even like ones that, like, it literally turns you off.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it doesn't do what it's trying to do. And yeah. I was literally like,
is this
laughing?
A popular book? Like, what
very,
from stuff you've seen on TikTok? What are
popular.
People saying about it? Do people like it?
But that's bad, in my opinion, because, like, one, why are we, like, and so on my For You page now, I'm getting fed Twisted Love things and, like, girls, like, quotes that Alex, the, like, love interest, the guy, says, but this man is the most toxic man I've ever read about in my entire life.
Oh.
More toxic than Tam Tam from Avatar, which is saying something.
Do you think that people identify that he is toxic?
No, I think it's because it's supposed to be, like, this, like, bad boy, like, and look, there's a difference between, like, and I read a lot of romance books, the Brulee, like grumpy guy that you're trying to, like, he's only nice to her. There's a difference between that and literal psychos that kill a bunch of people and are like possessive and toxic and misogynistic. And that's what this book
was.
Like,
the fan fiction for this book is actually just going to be people writing about like getting this person arrested.
Yeah, like it was just it was a wild roller coaster. And then my TikTok comments are now flooded with like, well, everyone doesn't like the first book. It gets better. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, if this
are you
is
gonna,
the standard
are you going to give the second one a try?
I think I might read them.
Just to
ironically.
See. Yeah.
Like, just
that's
to
an
see.
Investment, though.
There's like 6 books or 5. I don't know. There's a lot. But anyways, I just am really concerned that there's like 19-year-old girls out there reading Twisted Love thinking that like this is like something we should like be romanticizing, which it is not.
Yeah,
it was just crazy.
Was it a fun read? At least
it got fun once I realized, like, once I bought in and was like, this is chaotic and not
yeah,
because
yeah, yeah.
Like, what I kept saying was it a good book? No. Not written well, story was all over the place, made no sense. But was I entertained? Absolutely.
Okay, then this is good, because this is actually kind of along the same lines as what I was watching this week. I went to see the new Ghostbusters movie in theater.
Is that the one where it's like everything freezing over?
Everything freezes. Paul Rudd, Frozen Empire. Isn't it? Paul Rudd is in it. Big character in that. There are actually a lot of great comedians in there. Mm-hmm. James Acaster, I think is his name. British comedian. He's super funny. I love this guy. Not an amazing movie.
That's not surprising. Not fantastic. I feel like it's one of those ones that I got the gist of it from the 100%.
You could watch the trailer and you'd be like, this was way more entertaining. Granted, I think that there needs to be a place in the world for fun movies to go and see in the theater that are not like blow you away. You're going to get a 10 out of 10 or a 5 out of 5 on your Letterboxd that are going to be like life-changing movies. I really enjoyed myself. There's nothing like going to the movies, went in the afternoon on the weekend, got some snacks. Oh, I love a
good afternoon movie.
I know. After you said that, we're like on the afternoon or afternoon movies now. Getting some snacks. It's the best. It's a chill, like just under 2 hour movie. A little bit of action, a little bit of a few laughs. It was a good time.
This is where I think I love Letterboxd, but I think it's kind of where it's like so.
Is it too pretentious?
It's where it's ruining movies a little bit because not all movies are meant to be good movies.
I'm not going in there with a notebook trying to like write a critique of Ghostbusters.
Exactly. Like some things are meant to be mindless and fun and stupid. And like most people's favorite movies from like the early 2000s and like the mid 2000s, whatever, are not just
100%
bad this movies that point. Don't make this any is a good sense. Point because so I think people like take this like ratings and stuff and become like cinephiles too seriously. Like they're not meant to be good movies. They're meant to make them a bunch of money at the box office. Do you think Paul Rudd is signing up for Ghostbusters being like, oh yeah, like the script just spoke to me. Like it was really like absolutely not. Paul Rudd's like, oh, I can make a quick 10 mil on this. Like absolutely for 1 month sure. of filming. I'm done. But some movies are meant to just be chaotic and not great, but they're fun.
And I just want to chew my Sour Patch Kids and O. Henry Bites and a little
exactly,
bit of popcorn.
Exactly. I can have my popcorn and M&Ms and I can just sit there and mindlessly watch something that will make me laugh or make me entertained or give me something to talk about on this podcast.
I actually felt a little embarrassed when I haven't even rated it on Letterboxd because I was like, I don't want to put this on my Letterboxd. Someone's going to be like, oh, you're watching new Ghostbusters? That's a wrong feeling. I'm against that.
No, don't do that. But this is the issue. It's like my Letterboxd is like, I rate it the sec. I don't sit on ratings too much. I rate it the second I get out of a movie. Like Little Women has 5 stars to me, but also I'll give something like, I don't know, what's like a shitty Netflix rom-com. I'll give it 4 stars because I was like, well, it was good. Like I enjoyed myself because my Letterboxd ratings are basically.
I'm gonna go on my Letterboxd right now and I'm gonna rate Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire 4 stars.
Wow, entertaining. But it's
I'm gonna rate it that the snacks were delicious.
And so, like as an example, I watched Poor Things. Was it a beautiful movie with incredible acting? Absolutely. But did I enjoy myself in that movie? No. Mm-hmm. So it's getting a low Letterboxd rating. And like Anyone But You or one of those bullshit rom-coms is getting a higher Letterboxd rating. Can I appreciate good cinema? Yes. Does it mean that I want to watch all the time and sit there and be pretentious about it? Absolutely not. So people got to get off their high horses on Letterboxd and just know that bad movies are good movies. Sometimes.
Couldn't agree more.
Sometimes. With that being said, what about what you're listening to?
Okay, we got to throw back.
Ghostbusters soundtrack?
Yeah. Just who are you going to call nonstop? No, I'm throwing it back to a friend of the podcast because you hosted a live in-person interview with him, Jordan Davis, back in the day. We never released the episode.
Ago. Yeah, it's not true. We did release the episode.
Did we? Oh my God, we did. Go back and listen to that. I'm making things up. It's a good episode too. It's fantastic. But we didn't release the
live
session
show.
That he did oh, right after.
Yeah, well, we weren't legally allowed to do his
I wish we did because he's a great musician and he just came out with a new song. I want to get it right. Jordan Davis. I don't know if it's a featuring or they just like released it together. I have no idea who she is. Anne Wilson.
Well, I'm assuming it's his song then. I haven't listened to it.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure, but it's called Country Gold. It is a classic country banger. Listen, I have not heard a Jordan Davis song that I don't like.
He only does bangers and he's really good live.
Yeah.
And he's a great dude. Like yeah. That makes it like the trifecta. It makes it even better. I have tickets to his concert that I need to sell because I'm not going to be here now when the concert's here. So you can take
all
them
right.
If you
well,
want.
Yeah. I'll send you my Ticketmaster email address.
I love that. I love that you're like fully in like a country air. This has been like a real big development over the course of the podcast. I feel like we've watched you enter being a country fan.
I think
music
so
fan.
Too. I think I have changed into a country fan. Like my most the other thing that I'll say that I was listening to this week was the just a little bit of a teaser of Morgan Wallen and Post Malone's track together as his album's coming out at the end of
April.
I'm
really excited to hear that.
I think that and the Beyonce album are maybe the two albums that I'm most excited for right now, and both of them
and
country.
Tortured Poets Department.
Yeah, well, are there country tracks on it? Because no, no, what about you? What are you listening to?
Okay, well, I'm listening to two things because I need to do a shameless plug first. The Self-Care Sunday series.
Yeah.
I listened back to myself, which was so funny. One of my friends texted me being like, you're so soft-spoken on the podcast, which I was like, this is your way of saying I'm not soft-spoken in real life. But it was because it was like, that was the vibe. I was like sitting there like in my feels. Like,
okay, what is it for people who don't know?
It's on this podcast feed or on this YouTube channel, depending on where you're watching. And the Self-Care Sunday series is just going to be like me brain dumping mindlessly by myself, talking about my thoughts, feelings. You can add it to your Self-Care Sunday routine to feel like you're not alone and you have a friend. And we're just going to get more vulnerable. And I was saying that like sometimes it's hard because, I mean, like, we joke a lot together. That's good. It's a huge part of our relationship. So it's like really easy just to end up like these episodes being like, because they're so fun and it's lighter and everything. I'm not saying I'm just going to be like depressing the whole time in this series, but I think that's where it gives a space and lends itself to talk more about that stuff.
Yeah.
With work and life and all that stuff. So the Self-Care Sunday series is going to be dropping in when I feel like it. I'm not holding myself to like, I don't know, too like high of a standard for like
regular a teaser for the current episode that is out right now. What are people gonna get?
Well, I talked about burnout, how I'm feeling, because I kind of talked about it in one of the other episodes that we had of this podcast. And so I talked about burnout, I talked about my Self-Care Sunday routine, the Sunday scaries, why do we get them. So yeah, hopefully it can just become a resource for people.
I love it. It's great. Go check it out, please.
Okay, so, and then on the lighter side, the other thing I'm listening to, okay, I do this every goddamn time we have an artist on, I become obsessed with the artist after we've had them on the podcast. It happens
Virginia to Vegas?
I cannot stop listening to Virginia to Vegas. Oh. It happens every time. Like, same with Sophia, Jordan Davis. Like, all these people, like, we've been lucky. Like, Preston was the same way. Like,
Pablo, yeah.
Like, Kaiza, even. I went back. Yeah. Like, all of these people, it's like, I do my research, obviously, before the episode, and, like, for the interview and whatnot, but I'm so focused.
As well?
Yes, I'll mix it. Like, there's just so many artists that we've had, I'm lucky enough to talk to, but then I like get mad at myself. Connor Smith, another one. He's like constantly on the rotation. One. So Virginia to Vegas is the most recent example. Cause like I knew some of the songs, I was listening to it like before the episode or whatever. But now I've just been listening to it nonstop. Like I ordered the vinyl. I ordered his greatest hits vinyl. I was like, do you want to what? I won't stop fucking listening to this. So I might as well.
And I was excited. You know what I was pumped about is that if you haven't listened, it's the previous episode to this probably. Yeah. But that he released the Greatest Hits album, which is great. But then I'm like, you know, we need new music. But then he said there's new music coming this summer.
No, I know. He said it's gonna, and he described it as a Toronto summer. So like, and I realized the type of music he makes is like my favorite type of like poppy, like it feels so like summertime, good vibes, whatever. So I've been listening to it at the gym a lot, but it makes me so annoyed that now I have so many more questions and I, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't appreciate it in the moment as much as I should. And then I become more obsessed after.
You know,
and it's happened every single time we have an artist on.
We need to bring this thing that I feel like we've been dropping little bits of manifestation for a little while. We need to bring the Talking Fast Music Festival to life.
Oh, that, my like, God.
Brings a few of these artists just for a live show. We'll interview all of them with these follow-up questions that have come to light after our recording of each episode, and then they'll play some music.
I would love if we did a Talking Fast studio sessions or something. That'd where we fun. Did like a thing. We go back to the Rivoli, but everyone performs at it.
Yeah.
That was what our first live show was going to be, but it's just that we planned it in typical Sarah and Jacob fashion with a week and a half before.
It's hard to get people to like come back from tour or something.
But we had like, well, Virgin, like Derek was one of them. We had like Brett Kissel saying he couldn't, like we had all these people saying they would have done it. So maybe we should.
We'll give ourselves 2 months for the next one.
maybe. But yeah, it happens every single time, but whatever.
Sarah, what was somewhere you went this week?
Somewhere I went was nowhere.
Oh, stayed in.
I, for the first time in forever, had like a Wednesday, Tuesday. Nope, that's not how the week works, Sarah. I had a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I had plans. Like 4 days in a row with no plans.
Really?
And I had the house to myself. Nolan was on a trip. Apartment to myself. And I felt rejuvenated after because I like did not. I just went off like my vibe. Like, so Saturday, like, Haley and I ended up making plans because like I wanted to see people. I was kind of going a little stir crazy being by myself that long. But I could just like clean the apartment. Like on the one night I had like this, I felt so productive. I felt like an adult. I like came home and then I like went to the gym and then I went and got groceries, made myself dinner and was cozied up in bed with a book by like 9 p.m. I don't know. I just like didn't go anywhere.
Did
like
you feel
exciting.
Any pressure? Just like, oh, maybe I should have been doing something.
No.
Right now.
And like that was the best. That was the best part. I had no FOMO. I felt no pressure. granted, like none of my friends were doing anything either, so it's not like I had the opportunity to have FOMO, right. But I didn't feel FOMO at all, and it was amazing, and it was so refreshing for me to have like that many days in a row, because I'm really notorious for like having like one day mm-hmm. off for myself, but having that many in a row, like I got all my stuff done. I just like, I don't know, did stuff intuitively as I felt like it, because I knew at the time to do it. And then it like made me appreciate Sunday so much more when I had plans. I got to see everyone. It just felt wonderful. And I know for a lot of people, not having plans multiple days in a row is a normal thing. And that's totally cool. But for me, it is not normal to have a free schedule like that and not have like work obligations or any of that stuff that I had to get done. And it was fabulous. I loved it. I loved it. What about you? Where summer you went?
Okay, well, I did something a little bit opposite. I did an all day, well, actually, post run club. Shout out to the run club.
I guess I went to run club on Saturday, but like that's physical activity doesn't really
count. Couple hours.
Yeah, it doesn't count. I didn't do anything like crazy.
Got a workout in. Right after that, I went to a curling Bonspiel. I played in
crazy.
It, which I had never curled before.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go? Shout out
Ronnie for putting it together and organizing a team. We had like 8 people over the whole day who kind of swapped in and out and then joined another team. Mm-hmm. It was fun. I had never curled, and I was like, okay, I didn't do any research about how to curl, what the point system was.
Did you know
the
ice was pebbled though?
Like, no, I didn't know. No, I get on. I swear I got on the ice.
You didn't know it was pebbled ice?
No, and at like a couple hours in when they started pebbling the ice, I got up off of the seat and like went and stared down the window being like, whoa, look at that little backpack. It looked like a Ghostbuster. Okay. Trying to like pebble the ice with this stuff. For anyone that doesn't know, it's not just a flat sheet of ice.
It's not. It's pebbled ice. It's a little grippier,
and I guess like helps with the
well. And that's why sweep so that there's the friction and it melts down the ice and it can go faster.
And I swept. I'm still. This was 2.5 days ago now, and I have like weird muscles that are sore on like half of my body on the right side, and then the other half on like the. It's just a strange
situation. Did you find that you got better throughout?
I got a lot better, and there was the learning curve of it. And this is what I loved about it the most is that I'd never done it. I had no idea how to do it. Luckily had some friends who like had curled before and mm-hmm. were nice enough to be patient with me teaching me how to do it. The learning curve was pretty quick, whereby you kind of get a lay of the land of like mm-hmm. what you're trying to do after one game. But after the frustrating thing was after you figure out what the goal of the game is and mm-hmm. how to kind of do the basics, you can't really dial in and get like a lot better in a short amount of time. Still by the end of the day, I sucked at it. But
when I lived in Winnipeg, when I was 4 years old, my parents were about to join a curling club when they thought we were going to live in Winnipeg. Cause like how in Ontario, it's like you Winnipeg play hockey. Thing? It's just like a big like prairies thing. So like in Winnipeg, they were going to join a curling club so that I could start curling at 4 because like that's when people start curling. Like people think curling is like a really easy sport cause they watch it, but because it's so much precision, like you learn to start curling
at
4 or 5 years old.
That's wild. Crazy. Yeah, and I don't think I was doing anything with my sweeping, but I was sweeping. I was trying.
What about something that you did?
Okay, I was excited about this one. Everyone who follows me on Instagram knows that I am a huge fan of Peloton. I'm a big
Do you post? You don't post about Peloton that much.
You know
much
what? I'm going to rephrase this. I used to post about this a lot. You
did. I feel like now, though, it's like.
You're right. I should post more. I should post even more about this.
I didn't even know you still used your Peloton, to be honest.
I know. Well, I took a lot of time off. However, now that I'm getting back into running and just trying to live a fitter lifestyle, mm-hmm. I just hit a 35 days in a row doing both cycling and their strength workout. Training sessions every
That's
single
impressive.
At least one every
35
single day.
Days in a row.
Yeah,
so that's crazy.
I'm trying to do like nice at job. Least 40 minutes a day of some kind of cardio and strength training.
Very impressive.
Yeah, so I was just like, you know what, I'm just trying to live a little bit fitter, as especially getting back into, like I said, running and trying to train for the marathon. But I was excited. I was proud of myself. So I was like,
I'm
okay.
I'm proud of you. That's impressive.
Something I did this week.
I love that.
What about you? Something you did this week?
Well, I posted like a tease on my Instagram story of, well, Haley and I hung out on Saturday night and we like had sticky notes on the wall. And if anyone's been listening to every single episode of this podcast, episode 1, I like made some comment about like maybe in the future, like you guys will know about like if everything works out this like thing
oh,
that
yeah,
I've been working
yeah,
on in the background.
Yeah.
I don't remember how I worded it. I should have gone back and listened to it, but I like teased it. And so I have that clipped off for like ever. That thing has to do with the thing that we're working on now, but that one fell through. So now we're working on a different thing.
Can you give any more info?
Nope.
I got the update like an hour ago.
I can't. So I will let people live at the edge of their seat. Ooh. But all's to say is if things go well by the end of this year, for sure, Z, I'll be able to talk about it.
It is pretty fun. I can attest to it being like a very cool thing.
Yeah. So it's just like something I've always wanted to do. So I'm just like in my free time. I don't have any, but in my free time.
And it was a big jump. It was a big jump. Like, it feels like you got over a roadblock. Is that?
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. Because like, we took a long, long break. We were really down in the dumps when the first thing didn't work out. But now we're like, it's like we have a new, like, lease in life. All you need, if you have, especially if you have a creative block, I should not condone a lot of alcohol, but drink a couple bottles of wine, get some sticky notes, and it will literally change your life. Sticky notes and a couple bottles of wine. And I was like, I can take over the entire world.
I knew something was up when I watched your vlog on TikTok from this. And the vlog started with, so I went and picked up two bottles of wine for Haley and I. I was like, whoa, it's a two bottle night. Okay.
But granted, there was other people there as well. But I really would love if I could tell everyone what the sticky notes are, because I'm not good at keeping my yap shut, but I need to in this case. So just know that one day I finally can talk about the thing that I've been working on for years, you guys can go, oh my god, that's what it was. And I'll clip together all these clips and it will all make sense, and you'll be like, that's what she was talking about. And I hate being that annoying fucking person that's like, oh, I have a big secret thing's project coming. I don't know if it's coming. It's just, you might never know about it, but by the end of the year I think we'll be able to talk about it, hopefully. Maybe. POV, we're just hanging out in a living room. We're in your car if you're driving. POV, we're just...
Where do you listen to podcasts?
Usually when I'm walking to and from work. So, yeah, and I guess...
In motion.
Oh, do you want to know what, though? Because I was, like, home by myself for a few days, I was listening to way more podcasts because, like, I can understand how you could go a little stir-crazy otherwise and, like, feeling like you're not having conversations with people.
Yeah.
So, like, there was a moment on, like, Friday where I was like, I have not spoken to a human, like, all day.
Let me put on a podcast.
But I was just listening to a bunch of podcasts. So, actually, I can understand now if people, like, if you live alone or, like,
your
whatever.
Phones or no?
I wasn't listening with earphones. I had podcasts
like to have it
on,
in the space.
I had it on the TV. So then I could like watch it a little bit if I wanted to. So I'm always curious about how people listen to this podcast, but we're just having like friendly chats today.
Going with the flow today.
What I really wanted to know though is what is on your FYP currently?
Should I just open it up?
Yeah, I'm curious.
Because you know what? This could go several different ways. A lot of the time it's
renovations and chairs.
There's mid-century modern design inspiration and like renovations for sure. A lot of bricklayers actually.
That's
I have a very
a part
blue collar heavy TikTok.
Interesting.
Yeah, like, and you know what? They're not even North American. A lot of the time it's like British
bricklayer. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if I maybe should move over there. And
I recently
learned
you can reset your For You page, which I didn't know. Is that my video?
This is my first one that I just opened. Was a color palette studio. Oh, do you want to do top three? What opens up?
Ooh, I can do that.
Okay, I have a color palette studio that's like a design paint TikTok.
Okay.
Second one that's going to come up, that's an ad. That's a client. Okay,
a
it's
client
news.
Would count.
It's news about real estate developments in Vancouver. So the high price of living in Canada is one. And then the last one is a pasta recipe.
I feel like that represents your interests. Okay, let's see what mine are. First one is this one is about Canadian. Like a lot of my For You page right now is the cost of living in Canada.
Okay.
So this one, it says hashtag currency exchange, hashtag United Airlines, Canadians expensive. So a lot would have been like, on is people comparing to the States and the cost of living in Canada. That's been all over my For You page the past couple days.
There with the Vancouver.
Next video is an ad. So no. Oh, another ad. This is a photo. Like,
do you get a lot of slideshows?
Yeah. Like I get this is a photo slideshow of a girl that just says grateful every day. I don't really know what this is. Okay. And then I got something from the Junos.
Okay. A little music.
So
that makes sense.
Random. That's not normally
what
my
For You page typically look like.
find that recently the For You page reacts so quickly to something you watch. Like if I watch one person's video, I then see like seven more of them, which I don't love.
I love that. No, you know what I love about that is when it happens, like on for like St. Patrick's Day, for example, true. It's like someone was in their condo and they were partying and they're like, what is, can my neighbor see? And then two videos later, you see the other POV.
Yeah, that's true. I find though, like it's always what I'm searching, right? So like right now I'm going to the Olivia Rodrigo concert this weekend. So a lot of it's like Olivia Rodrigo, like concert info or outfits, but it's so funny because it's coming from like young girls, like 18, 19 year old girls. And like, I'm going to feel so ancient at that show, but it's fine. I'm just getting my information on the Guts tour. I got to know, is everyone dressing up? Like what's the vibe?
Are they?
Yeah, we're dressing up. That's the vibe. I'm wearing a matching purple little like cropped suit situation with a skirt.
Okay.
I ordered these big sparkly star earrings that feels very like, because Olivia Rodrigo kind of dresses like 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, are you doing any chunky like I'm doing a chunky, bracelets?
Oh, maybe. Like, I'm going to like an event where I think we're making bracelets before. So.
Okay, yeah, I find isn't like the Guts album art and a lot of the artwork have like chunky charms essentially? Am I making that up?
Well, she sells like those old school Claire's charms. Like those bracelets are back. Which like the chain link Claire's.
You
know what?
I noticed you are kind of wearing something similar. This was a popular one. I almost bought one of these.
Which one?
Last year, the Happy Face one.
Oh, the Lisa Goslin bracelets?
Maybe, probably. Yeah, I like the yellow one. I almost got it.
You should get it. Tara bought me this one for Christmas. It's green. Shocking.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was so cute. It's like a friendship bracelet, but not. Then these are permanent bracelets.
These are the ones that are welded out. On. Hold on. Where did you get that? Did we talk about this already?
I don't think we've ever talked about my permanent bracelet. So we're going to have to describe it for the people that are not watching on YouTube. I have three of them. First one was at a L'Oreal event from 2 years ago. Second one, Allie and I got at a Taylor Swift market last year.
Mm-hmm.
Third one, I recently got at the Fitting In premiere. The only thing I have like a pain is they don't match in color, and that kind of bothers me. I
kind of like the mismatch. There's like a silvery one and one that's kind of a golden.
Yeah, they're kind of they're a mix. I like. Why do they stress you out? I like
the permanence of it, which is weird because I get a lot of tattoos, but I think it's like I get claustrophobic. Like, for example, I have one ring. I wear one ring.
Oh, so you'd feel suffocated by having something on permanently.
Yes, when I got this ring, even that, pulling it off, I have it on pinky.
It, like, gives you, like, a little, like...
I was my heart always drops when I pull it off, when there's that little tug, and you're like, is this going to come off this time?
Well, the thing is, like, these are permanent bracelets that are, like, these are welded onto, or sparked onto my wrist. These ones are not permanent, but I don't take them off. Like,
do you sleep in your bracelets?
Absolutely. And shower. I haven't taken
these off. You shower in your bracelets?
Absolutely. I have a friend that showers and sleeps in full jewelry. We're talking rings, earrings.
This person probably doesn't take off their makeup.
My necklaces. Like... I don't take off my necklaces either.
Whoa. For real?
Did you not know this?
I don't know.
What does Haley do?
Take them off.
Oh, I don't take off my necklaces or my bracelet. That's normal, though, is it not?
Yeah, but I think like I feel like other people also will.
Rings
take
are the only thing I will
switch
off.
Them off. You kind of have a.
These are my stacks, is what you would call them. Like these okay. are these yeah, yeah, yeah. are my current stacks. They stay on my necklaces right now. This is my current stack. But what I'll do is usually when I have to get a spray tan because I can't have them on when I'm getting a spray tan, I'll
take them
and I change up the stack once I get a spray tan. That's usually what happens.
How often do you spray tan?
Every few months before a trip, whenever I'm going on a trip, I get a spray tan. Yeah, so I sleep in all this. Like these, like, that's why I need to buy like nicer jewelry because I shower in it. Like it can't.
I sleep in my ring sometimes. This is going to sound superstitious, and it is superstitious. I bought this ring on a whim.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, just because I want to. But now I have it as like my deal closing ring. So if there's like some good stuff that's coming the next day, I'll wear it at night.
That's like it's your manifestation.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Kind of.
Do you want to know what's going to be interesting? I remember when I worked at Yahoo because I worked with a bunch of men and my one friend was getting married. He like, I had all these rings on my fingers. And he was like, can I try one of your rings? I was like, sure. Why? He's like, well, I've never worn a ring before. And I never really thought of the fact that a lot of men, until they are married, and maybe now it's different. And also we live in Toronto where it's like the Ossington, like cool bros wear jewelry and paint their nails. And it's all very different.
If you've walked through Kensington once. And
you pick up a couple of rings. I think it's also like a lot. But I think it used to not be masculine to like wear jewelry. So I think a lot of men don't wear jewelry until their wedding band. So I will never forget. He was like,
wedding bands are fucking ugly.
Yeah, you don't get a lot of choice. And so he had never tried on a ring before. And then he was like, that's going to be the weirdest part about getting married. Like, I'm going to have to wear a ring every day. And that's something that I think women don't even think about because like we wear most women wear jewelry a lot.
Good point.
So for you, you're already one step there. You're used to wearing. So if you're someone that's like a little claustrophobic about like things, at least you already have that pinky ring on. So
that's
if,
true.
If you, marriage you know, is in your future, then you won't be as weirded out.
I've thought about other rings as well. There are a few that I want to get. I want to get like a custom ring with a little bird on it as well.
Why a bird?
I'm obsessed with magpies.
Obsessed with magpies?
Yeah, that's what my chest tattoo is.
You have a chest. I guess I would have never known you have a chest tattoo. Why would I ever know? I have a
detailed magpie right.
You're lying to me right now.
In the Harry Styles. Okay, spot.
So for everybody that's listening to the podcast, it's under like chest, but like
it's like Harry Styles between spots, the like, pectoral muscles
where Harry Styles' butterfly is what he's talking about. Yes,
it's not nearly that big, wow. But I do. Yeah, and I think the bear tattoo that I'm getting, I'm also gonna put it on my torso. On my
interesting. Did that spot hurt a lot?
That one hurt the most, yeah, because it's right. There's like a lot of detail right in the direct middle of like, I guess your direct. I don't know what that's called, but like there's where your ribs your meet, kind of thing. Your sternum is that I what don't it is? Know probably. What it is.
We're not doctors.
It hurt a lot right in the middle, but yeah, yeah. Oh, but the rings. So I wanted to get one that kind of matched the tattoo with the bird.
But why magpies? Is that too personal, or is it just
no magpies? It's not personal at all. It's a. I am someone who loves collecting things. As anyone who. Well, this is true. If you follow my Instagram, you know I love chairs. Yeah. That's for sure. Maybe not Peloton, but
collect
you,
them all.
Exactly. Them all. But, you know, the thieving magpie, it's kind of more of a myth than anything. But, like, how magpies, they actually put it in planet Earth, which is kind of bullshit science. But it's the bird that, like, goes around and collects shiny things and brings them back to the. Totally identify with it. I love magpies. So I'm like, you know what? I have one on my body. Let me toss on a ring. But I just haven't found a jeweler to actually, like, make one that I think looks good. So if you are someone out there who makes jewelry, hit me up.
Makes magpie rings. I don't have an animal that I love enough that I would put on my body.
No?
I don't think so. I've like, there's animals I've always liked. I've always liked kangaroos. Like, I've thought they're kind of cool. But I don't have one that's
I'm afraid of kangaroos.
Why? Because they'll kick you?
I feel like it's
one of the most aggressive animals. Or because of, like, when you open up their stomach, it's, like, not actually fuzzy. It's, like, literally... Like, you know that, right?
When is that a fact? I didn't know that. It's not fuzzy?
Oh, my God. I'm so excited like? I get to be the person to share this with
you. Oh, is it just... No, is it, like, is it gooey?
When you... Oh, okay. Everyone thinks, oh, my God, cute little kangaroos, like... The Joey goes on the little pouch.
You probably have a fleece lining. It probably looks like a Patagonia sweater inside that kangaroo pouch.
But I think I was in high school when I learned what the inside of Sarah's a kangaroo show me pouch a photo looks like.
Of this, she's pulling it up on her phone.
The inside of a kangaroo pouch is essentially like it's essentially a hole into their like.
Can you see inside. Veins? Can you see veins? Yeah,
you can. Here, I'll show you.
My For You page is now going to be covered it's in not, kangaroo pouches.
The internet's not letting me look this up. It's probably like this is inappropriate.
Like safe search
is on? Oh my God, this one's like, this is explicit image.
How did you find this?
I think it was one of those things that like everyone discovered at the internet at the same time. It must have been Vine or like Twitter or something.
Been,
where
must
like
must have been off the internet that day.
Yeah, because everyone discovered it at the same time. This is so gross.
Okay, she's turning it. Oh, it is gooey.
It looks like when you'd open up the inside of someone's like body.
You know what it looks
body.
Like? It looks like if you had like a bunch of canker sores in your mouth and you like turned your mouth inside.
That's
out,
what it looks like.
And then you put. Like,
I think
a
like people assume
there.
It's just like a pouch for holding things, but no, it's like it literally it connects into like their veins. It's just crazy. It's just like there's no skin.
Would you be afraid to go to Australia because of the animals?
No. I really want to go to Australia.
Kangaroos, but like snakes. Do you do well with snakes and spiders and all that?
Yeah, I'm fine with snakes and spiders and all that. Are you not?
No, I don't mess around. I'm okay with spiders, some spiders. I don't mess around with snakes.
My dad's petrified of snakes too.
Shadow Dean,
he's petrified of snakes. I don't know. I'm fine with all of that. I don't love rodents. And it's not because I'm scared of them.
You ever interact with a rodent?
What do you mean
interact? You ever have like a friend with a pet rat?
Yeah, I had friends. I photos on Facebook still of me holding my friend's pet rats. Like, that's different. But if I like randomly saw a mouse, like that would freak me out. But even like New York, seeing the rats run around, like actually,
those are different. Those are basically citizens of New York at that point. They have jobs. And
but
stuff.
I don't think I'm really scared of any of that stuff. There's
I am more scared of rodents now. Mm. As a kid, I wasn't. As a kid at the cottage, there was like a sand beach and like. Probably shouldn't do that these days, but like we dug holes so animals would fall into them.
What?
Little rodents.
Why?
Not like break your leg, fall into it or something like that. Because we just wanted to like
see animals. You just
wanted
to trap them?
Yeah. So like I honestly didn't think it was going to work. And one morning though, we had dug a hole the night before, and I went and went to the beach, and I just shoved my hand in this hole, and there was a little vole, which is like a similar to a mouse, but maybe more aggressive. I don't know. And it bit me. And then there was this whole scare of like, am I going to have rabies? Am I not going to have rabies? And
we're still unsure to this day. We still don't know.
Well, actually, you are clear of rabies. This is a fact that I know. As long as it doesn't develop within 12 months, you're pretty much clear. You're not going to develop rabies.
Oh, interesting.
I
good to know.
Took the chance with a dog bite 2 years ago. I know.
And then you, 12 months later, you live to tell the tale, so you were fine.
Yeah, my brother actually put it in his calendar. He was just like, the day Jacob will not have rabies.
Oh my God.
We celebrated.
I love that for you. The only thing I'm scared of is fish.
Whoa. You're not afraid of spiders, but you're afraid of fish?
Terrified of fish. Always have been.
Why?
My cousin, who I no longer speak to, so this makes a lot of sense. When I was a child.
Give me the tea.
I can't give you the tea. There's a lot of fraud involved with that tea and family drama. That's like a long story.
Whoa, another okay, give me the fish tea. Give me the fish tea.
We would go fishing with my grandpa, and he would take the sunfish off the thing and put them down my bathing suit.
What?
Mm-hmm. And then they would like.
Are sunfish not big?
No, like the little baby sunfish, like the little ones that are like.
That's a cancelable offense for sure.
I put them down my bathing suit, and then I would run off the dock screaming because I could feel fish like I like literally I'm getting chills talking about this right now.
Oh, that is feel them that is traumatic. Sarah, that's trauma. That's trauma.
That's
Sarah.
Trauma. So I am terrified of fish. This is the thing. I went snorkeling in Cuba and I like cried tears of joy because I actually did it. I'm not scared of those little fish, like the ones that
they're
are like
minding their business.
I'm scared of Canadian fish, carp. Salmon,
oh, trout.
Trout. Those things do not.
They
do
look
not
aggressive too. A trout. Oh yeah.
If I was in a lake, I'm fine with turtles.
Snappers?
It's literally just fish. At the supermarket, I walk past the aisle of fish so quickly. I'm like, nope, I can't look at them. They're beady little eyes. I can't do it.
Do you eat fish?
Yeah, sometimes.
You're like, yeah, motherfucker.
It's like my revenge. I don't fuck with it at all.
Dang. I didn't know that about you.
It's my like phobia. Like
have you gone to the Ripley's Aquarium?
Yeah, I went a few. Well, yes, I've been twice. I went with Libby and like Max, who's like my nephew basically.
Yeah.
And we went and I just like walked him right through the Canadian fish thing. I just put my head down. I'm like, we're not going through this part. We're going to go see the dories and the Nemos.
You probably don't mess around with eels then either.
Well, it's not that like, I just haven't seen one, but yeah, I don't really, any of that. Any like of those fish that are in like a lake, Ontario. I don't, not my vibe.
Sharks?
I'd be fine if I saw a shark. Shark, dolphins, any of those big things, totally fine with. It's literally fish. Like I would be more scared of a salmon than a shark.
Really?
Which is I understand it's weird, but it's just, it's who I am. It's my story. So I have this like hypothetical for you.
Okay.
So a thing that I do often with my friends is I post these hypothetical questions, whatever, but this one came to me because of someone else's real life situation. Okay. So I am, you know, sometimes you're on people's close friends and you're not really friends with them, but I think they just pick everyone.
Do you like that?
Following.
Do you like close friends on Instagram?
No. I mean.
Am I on your close friends?
I don't post close friends.
Well, you that's not what I asked, Sarah.
No, you would be on it because I think I have it set to just like everyone I'm following. The only time I've ever used close friends is if like I have a job opportunity for someone or something. Like I don't need all of the TikTok world to necessarily know about it.
Okay.
But I don't post close friends. I think it's risky to post close friends. Do you know how easy it is to accidentally post in your actual story? Not worth the risk. Not worth
it. Yeah, that stresses me out all the time.
So I don't post close friends. I think that's what Snapchat's for, if you want to like have that.
So
but
what
I don't
was the hypothetical
friends.
Or the what the
so
friend
this girl posts. And I think friend is a loose term. I don't even think I'm friends. It's like a colleague.
But
she's
you made
like
it in, to her close friends.
I yes, crazy that I'm on her close friends. But regardless, she posted her close friends, which I'm very happy she did because this was a very interesting story for
okay,
me.
Okay, yeah.
She posted her close friends that, hey guys, like I am traveling right now in the Philippines and. The trip's been great, but I've actually been like in and out of the hospital with dengue fever.
Is that serious?
Yeah, apparently. And it sounds serious. Regardless, dengue, it's enough for her to like post to be like, I've been in and out of the hospital. It's serious enough. And then I was like, okay. And then it goes dot, dot, dot. Oh, and my friend left me here and went on the rest of the trip without me.
So they're alone in the hospital.
So she's like, needless to say, I'm going to be coming back with one less friend.
Whoa, she was putting this person on blast on her close friends list?
And I don't even really know this girl. And I was like,
do you know the other friend?
I don't know. No, I don't know. I don't know like anything. I didn't know this girl was in the Philippines.
Right.
I was like, my jaw was on the floor. So I'm sitting at a bar with some of my friends. Wow, I see this story and I go, oh. So I immediately obviously posed the question, okay, guys, if you were traveling with somebody, let's say the Philippines, I don't know, like Southeast Asia, I don't care where you are.
Somewhere far away from home.
Where maybe like you don't know the medical system, that like whatever.
Sure.
Where
language barrier,
different things. You get sick, or your friend gets sick. Do you pivot the trip and like miss your next few couple days or whatever and stay with them?
And there's just two of us.
There's only two of you.
Ugh, that's tough.
Or do you leave?
How expensive is the trip is maybe my first question, because I might leave.
You won't. No,
yeah,
you.
I might. You know
are
what
you
I would
for,
say? I, you know
you
what I might
for
do?
Real right now?
I might be like, I might pivot the trip and be like, I'll come back at night, but I'm going to do a little day trip. Okay. I can do a little ATVing in the afternoon and then come back and feed you your little
different.
Jello at night.
That is fine. You cannot leave the city.
Like go to a different, get a, you can't get on a plane.
If
can't get
you
on a bus,
and I
no
are
train.
In Philippines, say it's Manila and I have dengue fever, you can't fly to, like, you can be like, okay, our next couple of days we're actually supposed to go fly to Bali, so I'm gonna go there without, like, you can't.
What if I talk to the doctor and I'd be like, is Sarah okay?
Absolutely,
is she gonna be
not.
Yeah,
no, it's
she's good for a couple of nights, right?
No, you can't.
You wouldn't? You would stick around?
A million percent. How do you go enjoying the rest of your time if your friend is in the hospital? Ill.
I guess. Because so.
This
out of
is
sight,
the thing.
Mind,
at its very like... core, I would want someone to do that. Like, if the roles were reversed. But I had this discussion. I've brought this up to a lot of people. The consensus that we have is you can do stuff during the day. I'm not expecting you to be like holding my hand and like batting with a towel while I'm in the hospital or while I'm like recovering from this.
You know what I would do though? I would get that person on a plane back home. I'd be like, I'm taking care of you. Go, 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 go.
But like, if no. If it's something that you know is also, like, I think the whole point is like.
Oh, what about this? I'll add on to the hypothetical here.
Oh, my God.
What if the friend, you're the one that's not sick, and what if the friend says, is pushing you? Like, no, go on the rest
I
of the
still
trip.
Wouldn't, I don't think I would do it. I don't think I would literally be able to. If, like, when I go to Southeast Asia, Haley and I are going to do Thailand together.
Yeah.
If Haley gets sick in Thailand, I'm not leaving her in Thailand and going to Bali. Like, that's insane. That's insane. Like,
yeah, okay, that is, it's tough. Like, maybe I wouldn't do that.
I think it's easy to be like, oh, like, it's a once-in-a-lifetime trip. It doesn't have to be, first of all. And second, like, you can just pivot the trip. I think the whole point is, like, she's ill right now, but she could be fine in, like, a few days or, like, whatever. But, like, just pivot it. You cannot... Like, I would be like, no, we're cutting no more. Like,
what would you do during the day? Like, would
you're
you?
In, you can do anything during the day. You're still like places where there's beaches and this. Like, it's not like you're in, I don't know.
If they passed away, you could do like a weekend at Bernie situation and just like take them around a little puppet and take photos and send them back home.
Okay,
like,
so this is safe
time.
To say I'm never traveling with you like that. It's just, I think. I don't know. Questions like that sometimes is really funny because you can like see a lot about a person, like what they
it's
want to
true.
Say.
It's true. I think I would probably stick around, realistically.
I think most people would.
Yeah. And you know what? You'd make the most of it because you'd be in the
exactly.
hospital or whatever.
Or if they're just having to stay at a hotel. And like, I think this girl was out of the hospital, but she had to like stay at the hotel.
I actually do like kind of the chaotic travel stories. Like that kind of makes it a
exactly.
fun story. It's kind of like a hangover, you know? Everything goes wrong, but it's still a fun adventure.
Exactly. I just think it's... You're coming
you
back
are a bad
home.
Friend.
You're coming back home with one less friend. So then it got us thinking, because when we were talking about this a little bit before the episode, is like, have you ever been like left by a friend somewhere?
Yeah.
Or like
you?
Abandoned? And I have.
Really?
Not like okay,
like homeland
abandoned,
situation? Are we talking
abandoned
like,
is a really dramatic way to put it. No, we weren't in another country.
Was it by these family members who like
No. Okay, I guess is abandoned too dramatic of a word? No.
Set to the me, scene.
It's Sarah's 19th birthday. Big night. In the city.
Yeah.
Girls have their... This is 20... When did I turn 19? 2015.
Good year.
It's 2015. We've got our little H&M blocky chunky heels and our little black mini skirts with our little crop tops on. Hair is pinned straight. We've been drinking our Palm Bays.
It's your birthday.
It's my birthday. My friends are in the city. We're all going out. We're going to go to... EFS, because that's where we were going for my 19th birthday. That sets the scene. Obviously, it was my birthday, so I enjoyed a few too many beverages.
Yeah.
It's a kind of a tradition for me, to
got
be honest,
silly.
At this point. Got a little silly goofy. But do you know what? I was like, we're going to the club. We go to the club. And this note, I have friends in from home, like whatever. But these are like, I'm with mostly Toronto friends.
Are you in a cab? In a...
No, we go. Well, it's that's not really where the
you
story
get there.
Is.
You get there.
We get to EFS and we're in line. And I need you guys to know the context of the story. I used a fake ID for a full year before I turned 19. So drunk me got a little confused because I was using my real ID for the first time ever, but he asked me a question about my ID. I guess he didn't think I looked like my card. I don't know. Maybe he just knew I was really drunk. Something happens. I say information from my fake ID.
No.
So he thought I was using a fake ID on my 19th birthday.
Because it doesn't match up.
When I'm wearing a fucking birthday pin that says it's my birthday, all this stuff. And he could have looked at the date. Not a lot of logic on, but just assumes that. And I, maybe it's because I was too drunk, but the way my friends interpreted it was like, he was like, he literally didn't believe you were using a real ID. So then obviously I start crying because when you're 19 and you're drunk at the bar, you start crying.
Well,
because I'm not getting in.
You're not getting in.
My friends go, just go sit at McDonald's and wait for us.
Whoa.
They're not my friends anymore. I went across the street at the King and Bathurst McDonald's and spent my 19th birthday. My one friend, who I'm not even friends with this girl anymore, but at least she went with me. My one friend from like Coburg who came up for the night sat with me in that King and Bathurst McDonald's, and we sat there for 2.5 hours while they went into the club, to the point where, because I was staying at the one girl's house, so I had nowhere to go. Like, I literally had to, I had to stay there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't have a key.
That so is
they,
rude.
They went to EFS, and then they came and met up with us at the McDonald's after, and I sat at McDonald's on my 19th birthday crying for 2.5 hours.
Oh my God. If we're going to we're gonna clip this out, and this clip is going to make it to those girls, and you should be ashamed of yourselves.
Do you know what's so funny? It's one of those things that, like, you know when something traumatic, you know when something happens that you like block out? Like, we were talking about our 19th
jellyfish
birthday.
Down your swimsuit.
It wasn't a jellyfish, but that's great. But you know what I mean? Like, when you almost forget something happened.
Yeah.
And I think I always just brushed it off. It's like, oh, whatever. Like,
but you're
it's
like,
fine.
That was
like,
not cool.
Well, now in hindsight, I know it wasn't cool. But that
no,
was
I know,
just
no,
like,
I'm saying, yeah, yeah.
But at the moment, I was upset in the moment, but I don't think I really like realized how fucked up that was in the moment. Like, realistically, what should have happened is all of them should have been like, oh my God, screw you, screw EFS. Like, we're taking Sarah and we're either going
pivot
to another bar
night,
or we're going
home, get some drinks and like,
but, like,
change the
that
plan.
Just so describes like 19-year-old girls like being like all about like going to the club. You know what I mean? Like, it was yeah. In a hindsight, I obviously know that was horrible, but it was one of those things we were talking about recently. It was my friends. And I'm explaining this story and their jaws are on just the like, floor. They're like, that happened? I was like, yeah, man. Yeah, that was a TBT.
That's tough. I've never been that. I've never been really abandoned like that. Oftentimes in those types of situations, I've been the one running away.
Yeah.
If I get a little too silly in the
you
past, I've been known to. Yeah.
I have some friends that are runners. That's why we all have each other's locations.
Yeah, no, but I'm very against location sharing as well. I am so against location sharing. It's not even funny.
Interesting
get
take.
Get this. Haley shares her location with me.
But you don't share
I don't
yours
share
with her?
My location with her. No, I wouldn't. I would never. And I was like, at the start of our relationship, I was very, listen, I'm never going to do that.
Why? I'm so fascinated by this.
As the Brits would say, privacy. I'm not doing anything sketchy. I just don't want the what do they call it? The panopticon of like the big tower with windows that you can only look out of, not look into in a prison. The prisoners always think that they're being watched, even if there's only one guard that can look in one location. It's a classic little tale. For me, wow. It's along the same lines where I'm like, well, someone could know exactly where I am, and I don't like that.
So I agree, but I'm in too deep in my location shared with too many people
How
now.
How many people? You should just turn it off.
So I will say as a woman, and when you
it's
travel
a
together, it's a safety thing. But I don't think you should have it on 24/7, especially with your friends. I think it does more harm than good. Then you'll have like, I mean, it's happened like with my friends where it's like, oh, our friend is like clearly at a guy's house. And then like, maybe she wants that privacy, but like people are looking or like, I don't know. I think it can cause more harm. Or maybe you see all your friends are hanging out together and you're not. I just think I agree with you. I actually do think it causes more harm than good. But I think in certain instances, it is important, like for safety on a night out or traveling and stuff.
I would agree, yeah. The 24-hour share, the
I love the
meeting up and being like, here it is, here, have it for 20 minutes while we find each other in this parking lot kind of thing. But yeah, not all the time. And it also takes away the opportunity to be like, oh, you're never going to guess what I did yesterday. And they're like, well, you were probably at the hockey game because you were sitting there for 3 hours.
So that's the thing. It's like I have everyone's location because they have mine. It's just like, but I never look ever. But I do have people in my life that I know look all the time, mm-hmm. like constantly.
It's if I would I say feel it's way like, worse than like scrolling on TikTok or something
I
like that.
I feel like it feels so intrusive.
You
like,
dooms, when you doom someone, doom scrolls the like Find My Friends app is awful.
I agree. And then also what happens sometimes is like, unless you're doing like the share till end of day, then like I have some of my colleagues just because they've never unshared with me because like we're on a work trip together and then they like accidentally never like unshared it
that
or whatever.
Did happen to we were at a concert that happened to I had the location of like one of Haley's friends
and then just she forgets about it. Yeah.
And then I was like, why do I know where this guy is?
Yeah,
what's going on? He eventually took it off.
That's an interesting concert, I think it was a weird thing where it became super normalized and like kind of fun for like people for a while, but now I do think I'm seeing more and more discourse about people being like, it's not healthy to like have everyone's locations.
No,
and everything.
Definitely not.
And I feel the same way. I feel like it's a weird thing to, I don't think about it often because maybe it's because I don't look at other people's locations, so I don't think about it.
I do remember watching Harry Potter growing up and seeing the Marauder's map and watching like everyone walk around the castle being like, this is gonna be so, that would be so cool if we had that. And now I'm like, actually
I don't
put
want
that map
it.
Away. Harry Potter, go and do something fun.
I think the until end of day is a great way to do it. Like my sisters and I don't have each other's locations, but we will share it if we're going to a concert together or something, and it's only ever until end of day. And I think it's almost like an unspoken thing between us all being like, I don't want to know where my sisters fucking are. You know what I mean? I don't want to know like where
and
they
like,
are. I don't want to know
some
who they're
secrets.
Hanging out with.
Let's have some secrets. You know what I mean?
Yes. And people, you're allowed to have secrets and privacy. I agree. I'm a little in too deep. Maybe I'm going to go and shut off my location off everyone after this conversation.
You should.
I've been thinking about it for a while. I saw a TikTok literally today of a girl being like, it was a girl talking about her dating life. She goes, I had a girl ask me to share location after 2 weeks of seeing each other. And she was
No.
And then she got mad at her for like not wanting to share it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the other issue is like, I think people get mad or think like, well, what's wrong if you don't want to share the location? Like, what are you hiding or like, what? But that's 100%. Not the case. Like you just said.
But also if those people are having that thought, that's probably on them. That's their own insecurities.
And
talking,
it looks worse.
To-
it looks worse. Cause I also have had friends and it looks worse when you have their location and then they shut it off for the one day. And
you
then
I know
comes,
you're doing something
you
shifty.
Know, it's like, it's more obvious. So if we just,
unless
all-
like in a 24 hour period, someone shows up with like a surprise birthday cake or something, a present for me after that, like that
yeah.
off period,
you're like, I'm
yeah,
a,
yeah,
you're
about to get
shady.
The FBI after you.
Yeah. You're doing something shady. So I agree. I think it's like, I think as a society, we should just collectively agree that we don't need to have our friends' locations.
I'm all for that campaign. For like, we have Canada's gonna maybe have an election in the next couple of years here. Let's maybe make that like the main campaign point.
A main campaign point. I love that. Okay, my final thought for today. I think I've made a TikTok about this like years ago. I've made so many TikTok videos. I at this point don't remember what I've put on the internet and what mm-hmm. I haven't. But I think you can tell a lot about a person about what reality competition show they think they can win.
Oh, okay.
So I'm very curious, which reality competition show do you think you can win?
I think that I would win.
Or like have the best opportunity to. Like you don't have to actually truly think you're going to win. Like it could just be one that you think that you would most thrive on.
Okay. One strategy wise and then one actual game show. So or reality show. One, I think I would be like a mind game player more so than like physical mm-hmm. or like puzzles and that kind of stuff. I would think the interpersonal, any game that like favors
so like
interpersonal relationships,
Big Brother, Survivor,
alliances, I'd be all over that.
Mm-hmm.
Or Amazing Race, because I am pretty good at being on time, reading schedules,
mm-hmm.
and figuring out like, and pivoting when something goes wrong.
How do you think our dynamic would be if we were on the Amazing Race? Amazing
Should we
Race
do
Canada,
it?
If you're listening to No, I'm being 100% serious right now because I think you and I are similar enough in the things that matter and different enough in the things that matter that we could do
we
well
could
in the Amazing
win.
Race.
We could maybe win.
Because I think physicality, we're both like fit but not like beasts.
Yeah.
I think puzzles, there's probably some that you could do and some that I could like.
We would know when to like do a, what are they called? Like the time blocks. What are those called?
When they
like,
freeze it.
Yeah. Like
stuff?
There's a little bit of strategy involved still.
For
right.
Sure.
We get that. And I think it's the pivot, you know, being nimble if something's mm-hmm. going wrong or just like powering through some of the maybe less appealing
You're
challenges.
Really good at talking me off the edge. I haven't had to do it for you yet, but I think I could.
Sometimes they have to park, and I'm a good parallel parker.
You're good at driving. Can you drive stick shift? Because that's the big thing.
Ooh, I could learn. I'm not very good at that. No.
I am. I don't drive often, but I'm a pretty good driver. I just don't drive often.
Can you navigate?
1,000,000%. I'm so good with directions. You take me somewhere once, I can go there without having to look it up again.
Okay, maybe for the next few months, I'm gonna just like learn
how to drive stick just in case.
Perfectly, yeah, just in case.
I mean, I think we'd be fine. The only thing I've heard about the Amazing Race that's difficult is because like you can't have your phone, you can't do anything, like whatever. Obviously, because I can't look stuff up. But like they said for food, because Cassie Day was on it, right?
Yeah, right.
She said the hardest part was like you eat takeout every single night.
I can do that for sure.
So just give Jacob a bag of candy. But I feel like I can't fathom, like I think we could get frustrated, but I can't fathom, because we've been in scenarios where it could happen that us yell. I'm not a yeller, so like I would never yell at you.
Granted, at the same time, I think that we would make good TV, because there are like heightened moments, and I think that we could sell it to the camera as like, let's just yell for a little bit here.
Yeah, like lean into it a little bit. You'll be like, it's good for the brand. It's good for the brand. The long-term play.
But it wouldn't affect us in terms of actually like
competing.
Yeah.
Agreed. And I don't think it'd be too high, too low. I think we'd be going for like the fun and the vibes. Mm-hmm. I'm not scared. Are you? How are you with like eating weird things, though?
I could do that.
So
for sure.
If you could take one for the team for that things, I'm totally fine with heights. I'm fine with snakes. I'm fine with any of that stuff.
Yeah. You like crawl through the snakes. Yeah. I'll eat the snakes.
No, 100%. Like when they make you eat the cockroaches, that stuff. If you want to do the weird food, I can do like snakes, rodents, reptiles, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This was not the intent of this question, but
we just submit this as our casting tape.
I will literally just clip it off. I did that for Survivor. They never called me back, but I was like,
other than the Amazing Race, what do you think you could win?
Okay, so it's so funny what you think you can do versus the perception of other people, because I asked my friends this the other day, because I just have like dinner party questions always in my back pocket, because I can't live in silence apparently. And my friend Kayla was like, you'd be so good on Big Brother. Whereas since watching Big Brother Canada this season, I don't think I'd be good on Big Brother, because I hate more than anything in my life being lied to. Like being lied to is the one thing.
Burns a bridge for you.
Burns a bridge. Like it really, like it's hard to come back from. And I like, it's the one thing. And I don't, I just can't stand being lied to.
Yeah.
And Big Brother, all it is lying. Where at least Survivor, there's deceiving people, and then there's lying straight to their face. I feel like Survivor's a little bit more deception and not as much like blatantly lying.
Mm-hmm.
And like it's more about the alliances. And like, I like the idea with Survivor that a lot of the games and stuff are based off of like strength, or like you could kind of train for them or make yourself, I don't know. You could help out that way. I think I'd do better on Survivor than Big Brother personally, because I just would not mess well with being straight up lied to. Because then if I watched it back, I'd be so angry and embarrassed. So I don't think I could do it on
the
Big Brother.
The next one after that would be like an Ultimate Fighter thing, where you get in the ring with the people that wronged you and just demolish them.
So maybe like, I mean, Amazing Race, you don't have to really like do anything to the other teams other than like put them, like you can make them do extra challenges or things like that. So maybe that one could be one. I'm great at running through an airport. Had to do that a couple times. Could run through an airport. So I mean, maybe that's the one we end up on.
Could you skydive? Sometimes they're like,
I could do it.
Yeah,
for the money and for the bit, I could do
heights
it.
Heights is the one thing that would get me.
Really? I could do heights, though. I mean, it's the classic, I'm not scared of heights, I'm scared of the falling part, but also like whatever. Like they're not gonna put me in a situation, I know how television works and the liability, they're not gonna put you in a situation where like you could legitimately die. No, they won't. Like they're too scared of liability. So I think all of this to say, I think like, are you good at puzzles? Because I'm not great at them.
I'm pretty good at puzzles. I do all the New York Times puzzles.
Oh my God,
morning.
I do any of those. Amazing. You can handle all of that. So like if we have to like climb up the side of like a mountain or something, I can do that. Or like the skydiving, bungee jumping, any of that stuff I can
I'll do the crossword puzzle as you jump out of a plane.
Perfect. That sounds like a really good trade-off. I don't even know what reality competition shows there are, but I think it's, I don't know. I always find it so funny.
I would love to do one. Like it'd be fun. It's a fun life goal to like.
Well, like that was what Moose said when he came on the show, and it was my favorite things. He was like, I just always want to go on a reality show. He's like, I wasn't trying to become like a reality star. I just thought it'd be so fun to go on a show that's such a unique experience. And so like that's where like as I'm watching Big Brother Canada, I'm like, this does look like a fun experience. But then when I see they've already been in the house for 20 days, I'm like, they have to be in there for like, they're in there for 90
the
days.
The other thing that I think I could win, 70. And Haley, like this, you know what I mean when I'm saying this. I have no intention of going on any kind of reality dating show, but I think that I could win the like Love is Blind.
Win Love is Blind?
I know there's no real one, but like to get out of the
to get out of the pods.
I'm not gonna say this on the podcast.
No, you can't. What? What?
I was gonna just say like the opening and be like. Create a character for myself and get someone to propose.
No, okay, you're laughing because it's like against the whole purpose of what Love is Blind is. But you know what?
Did
that's
you not see this TikTok
does.
Recently of the like Bachelor or was it Love is Blind? The guy had fully had a partner outside of the show.
Yeah, man, that's what I was about to say. I watched this season. Like,
people just go on these shows, and this is kind of what I meant by that: is that people go on the shows to get famous, and I think that I would like that, like, not to get famous necessarily, but like
doing it as a bit, like leaning exactly, into the character
like,
of it.
Yes, like creating a guy named like David Smith who runs Ooh. Like some kind of foreign exchange trading company, and but is also an at-home cook, and is just a sweetheart looking for someone to be the you know the big spoon for him.
What would be really funny is if like. You were deceiving someone and then turn out the other person was also lying.
It actually is Haley lying on the other side of it. We still match, but it's like completely different characters.
that would be good. That's what Love is Blind should do. See if you can match. Oh my God.
Put on exes with different personas.
Like they, you can't, you only have like, you can't say names or they all have a different name.
Ooh,
okay, wait.
That's good.
We have to trademark this so they don't totally steal it. I would like a producer credit. Yeah, so because Love is Blind, the issue is right now is that everyone goes on knowing that it's just to become famous, right? Because
yes.
Like, the first season was legitimate because it was like you didn't know if the show was going to be popular, whatever.
There was something similar to that. What's that called? The Circle. It's not
the
like a dating show,
no,
but like
it's
something
like,
a little bit similar.
Yeah, it's similar to The Circle where it's like the Circle is when you're like,
you have
can choose,
persona.
You can
could
put
be
on a persona
you,
or you
yeah,
could
yeah.
be you. But what if you mix kind of The Circle slash Love is Blind and some of the people, and I guess it's almost like the ultimatum too, some of the people in the pods are like exes or like maybe they
yeah.
went on a couple dates. It's all actually people that have interacted together before and you see and you're not allowed to use your real name, but then you like fall or maybe you're only allowed first names. I don't know. Something
there's
like that.
There's certain details you can't share.
Yeah, that you can't share to see if maybe it's like a second chance romance.
Oh, we got a name.
Second chance romance where you use the names and it's the idea of the pods
oh,
and it's
and
blind
you,
dating.
Oh,
and but it's like
but
with
you find out you know that an ex, a old partner, something like that is there, but you don't know who they are. Which
you
one
you don't
are,
know who they are.
Who you
I think we might
with.
Have to use like a fake voice thing at that point too.
Yeah, 100%.
But that's yeah. There's like exes or people you went on one date with and were like, ugh, I wasn't interested in them.
That's good.
Second chance romance. If anyone at Netflix or
Here's
any of the big
we'll
streamers
we'll
wants
go,
to contact
we'll,
me.
You and I will go on Amazing Race. We'll win that. We'll get in with the producers
and
then,
we
have
can
to
take,
make this show.
Then we have the startup money to start it.
100%.
We can build our own pods. Genius. Okay, so the first step is Amazing Race Canada has to cast us first.
We build our own pods. Like,
we literally
just
build
like outside.
And then there's a pod about the pods. Like we
oh.
record everything and they can listen to.
I am kind of surprised there aren't so those... don't exist. They should exist. More like wrap up after show.
There are.
I know they're out there, but like they should be more popular.
Yeah, that's true. I think there's like some of the girls from.
I just
like,
want to listen to Jeff Probst on a podcast is what I want. Does he have one?
Oh my God, Jacob. Yes.
Does he have one?
This is like the kangaroo pouch. Yes, Jeff Probst because you know like Rob has a podcast
Boston
who was
Rob.
On Survivor. No, not Boston Rob. Different Rob. Rob has a podcast was like the Survivor. It still is the Survivor like wrap up weekly podcast.
Okay, yeah.
Survivor was like the brand CBS was kind of like okay well you're taking all this like money from us like we want to be able to have our own so now there's the Jeff Probst podcast which launches and it's a recap in every single
okay.
week
hey I gotta get back into Survivor I haven't watched in a while but I would
this
I would
season
watch
is not good so I would not recommend this season but unless a Survivor casting person is watching actually no I would tell them that this is my issue I need to go on a Survivor rant for 2 seconds and then the podcast will be done. Oof. What happened to villains? I'm not saying I would be a villain because I don't think I could be. But like, talking about playing like a character, it'd actually be kind of fun to go on and play a villain. Social media has ruined villains in reality shows because people get crucified so badly on the internet for one mistake or one little like mishap that
yeah.
it doesn't make it worth it to kind of like be a villain on a reality show. But like old school reality shows, there was always like the villains, the people that were ruthless for the money and they were the best
like
people to watch.
Johnny Fairplay who said his grandmother died.
But didn't actually.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like those are the people that are... you miss on those reality shows because you're actually there for the money. The issue I have with Survivor right now specifically, and even like Big Brother, these other shows, is everyone there is like a super fan. Big Brother's actually pretty good, especially Big Brother Canada. Like they're all ruthless still. Mm-hmm, and they're like, they're hungry for the money. And like, I really respect that because I've missed watching reality shows where people actually give a shit about winning the money. They're not just like, they vote someone out. They're like, love you guys. I would literally throw my torch if I got voted off Survivor. I'd be so angry.
Yeah.
So I want, like, it's $1 million. It's $1 million, like $1 million.
It's a game.
It's a game. And it's like the only, if you were told you had like a 1 in 15 shot in the lottery for $1 million, like you'd be like, oh my God, like I need to like do whatever I can for that. And I don't get why that's not the mentality anymore on like Survivor, specifically in these reality shows. Bring back villains, casting people, like stop casting super fans who are just like, I'm just so happy to be here. La la la. Like it drives me insane. And I think it's finally the switch. I just think people were scared to be villains because of social media. But I now think people are craving that again. Like they want the bad guys. They want the people that are like more ruthless. You don't have to be friends with these people after the show. It drives me insane. I'm not saying I would ever be a villain because I have a complex that I need to be liked. But I would love to bring back villains.
Oh, but I think you can
do
both. I think you can be a villain and be well liked.
I guess that's like a Parvati or Boston Rob or kind of like that.
Exactly.
And that's the thing. We still talk about those players because those are the ones that are memorable and actually do things. There's been a few over the past years that like are like that. But man, I hate when they're all just so like, love you, best experience.
But you, I think it's like it is a fun part of it if you can be cutthroat to someone's face.
It's like, listen, would love
it's,
that.
It's not anything personal, but
it's
I
not
am
personal.
I'm going against you.
It's a game. It's business. I'm trying to get a milli. Mm-hmm. See you later. Maybe I'll take you for dinner when we're done. It's not personal. It's all a game. And I understand you have to be like, there's certain things with the jury and whatever, and you can't just, but I don't know. I just need more reality villains specifically on Survivor or else it's going to burn out the show. So again, maybe if we don't end up on Amazing Race, put us on Survivor. This is also what I want Survivor. Imagine like we both end up on Survivor, but we don't tell anyone that we know each other. I want that to happen. I want a season where they That'd bring a bunch of people together that do know each other, but they're all pretending like they don't.
Didn't they have one recently where they had like a son and a mom or something?
I don't remember. Maybe, but that happened before. But anyways, bring back reality villains. And I felt good about this episode. I felt a little ranty.
Pretty ranty, yeah. But I think we both had a little extra caffeine today.
We did. This was a 3 coffee day for me, which is why I'm kind of like buzzing. I'm buzzing right now. Bring home and like, I don't know, like clean my entire apartment or something, because I'm bouncing off the walls. You can subscribe to our podcast, Talking Fast, the one you're listening to right now. And make sure you please give us 5 stars. We would love a 5-star review, especially if you agreed with any of our takes, even if they were hot today. Mm-hmm. Like, comment, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, and also follow us on all the social platforms at Talking Fast Show. If you want to give us a voicemail question, you can email us at talkingfastshow@gmail.com or send us a DM. We'll listen. We'll try and give you advice on the voicemails. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.